Title: California Court of Appeal holds that derivative litigation settlement procedural rules apply even in intra-shareholder suits in closely held companies. Content: In Norman v. Straitman, No. 170356, 2025 WL180-2786, Cali App, 1st DST, June 20, 2025. The California Court of Appeal held that a settlement of derivative claims reached among all shareholders of a close corporation was not enforceable because the settlement was not vetted by the trial court through a formal settlement approval process. This ruling confirms that the procedural requirements for derivative litigation must be followed even for closely held companies where all shareholders are also individual parties to the litigation. The case centered on a startup cryptocurrency exchange that was founded by three individuals, who were also the company's sole shareholders. Eventually, the company ceased operating after one founder closed its Bitcoin exchange. Another founder, the company's CEO, filed derivative claims against the other founders, claiming that the Bitcoin exchange was closed without the consent of the other shareholders and the other shareholders were excluded from the company's operations. One of the defendant founders, in turn, filed a derivative cross-complaint against the CEO for abdicating his duties and liquidating the company's bank account for his own use. During trial in San Francisco Superior Court, the parties participated in court-supervised settlement discussions, ultimately reaching a resolution in principle. As is typical, the settlement judge requested the terms of the settlement be put on the record. Additionally, the parties confirmed on the record their agreement to the terms of the settlement, that they did not have any questions about the settlement after conferring with counsel, and they did not request any additional information from the court other than that the court retain jurisdiction to resolve future disputes. The parties also confirmed on the record that the settlement was immediately enforceable. The trial judge was informed of the settlement, adjourned the trial, and set an order to show cause hearing regarding dismissal. Plaintiff sought to continue the hearing on the order to show cause while the settlement was documented. Nearly a year later, plaintiff filed a motion to confirm the absence of an enforceable settlement in this derivative action and or in the alternative to set aside the settlement on various grounds. Defendant filed a motion to enforce the settlement that was entered into the record. Plaintiff argued that because all of the asserted claims were derivative, any settlement required judicial approval, although he conceded the issue had not been raised before. The trial court denied plaintiff's motion and granted defendant's motion to enforce. The trial court found that derivative lawsuits were designed to protect shareholders, but, in this case, all of the company's shareholders were parties to the case, so the settlement agreement clearly went right to that issue, and there was no objection from any shareholder to the settlement put in the record, all of whom were present. The Court of Appeal reversed. The court confirmed that at least some of the claims at issue belonged to the company. Citing Jones v. H.F. Amundsen and Company, 1 Cal. 3D 93, 460 P.2D 464, 1969, the court noted that the stockholders derive no benefit from the derivative litigation, except the indirect benefit resulting from a realization upon the corporation's assets. Because the settlement purported to resolve all claims, the determination that at least some, if not all, claims were derivative was sufficient to determine if judicial approval of the settlement was warranted. To that end, the court observed that a shareholder plaintiff in a derivative action must obtain court approval before settling and dismissing the corporation's cause of action. The Court of Appeal analogized the judicial review of derivative settlements to those for class action settlements. Specifically, the court stated that trial courts evaluating derivative settlements should consider all relevant factors, which may include, but are not limited to, the strength of the plaintiff's case, the risk, expense, complexity, and likely duration of further litigation, the amount offered in settlement, the extent of discovery completed and the stage of proceedings, the experience and views of counsel, the presence of a governmental PAW.